Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant assistance of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we're here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim. From bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of 4 major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. I hope you'll have as much fun listening to our conversations as we have had. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile company in the world, from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man, Gary Bagnall, who still runs it. ZooMed provides supplies and information for every imaginable exotic pet, particularly renowned as the world's expert on UVB and heat lighting. ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools, which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. Dr. Doug, reptiles and amphibians, where do tortoises fit in there? Are they one of those? They're not a reptile. Are they an amphibian?
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Doug.
That's a great question. Yes, they are reptiles, but it's really funny that you should ask that because a lot of people that own tortoises or turtles don't consider them reptiles. They consider them tortoises and turtles, but in fact, they are reptiles.
So how do we, technically, I thought a reptile had to be a snake or maybe something like an iguana. But let's all remember, Doug knows everything. I know nothing. Literally nothing. And that's kind of where this show comes from, is many of you out there that own these animals think, well, Tracy's a dope. But I'm playing the kind of dope because there's lots of people that might want to have any of the animals we talk about. And they come from where I come from, which is knowing nothing and just having curiosity and maybe a little appetite to have something exotic in their life. So reptile technically is a snake, and how many other creatures?
Well, no, reptile describes any of the animals that fall within the vertebrate group, which means they have a backbone, and they're ectothermic, which means that they derive their body temperature from the environment, as opposed to a mammal like a dog, a cat, a human, a horse, a cow, something like that. So fish are not into that group. So reptiles are a very distinct group. So the reptiles generally include the snakes, the lizards, the turtles and tortoises, and then a really unusual group called the tuatara that are found down in New Zealand.
Ooh.
It looks like a lizard, but it kind of in its own little group.
All right, so we probably won't hit them in the first year of the show, but when we go further afield and have to start on the really exotics, we will. Talk a little about tortoises as a pet.
I think they make great pets. For one thing, people, when you look into getting a tortoise as a pet, the one thing you should consider is, many tortoises are extremely long-lived and not uncommon over 100 years. I personally have clients that have pet tortoises that were handed down from grandfather to father to son type of a deal.
Wow.
And documented well over 100 years of age. So Neat. Not like a dog or a cat that might live 10, 15, 20 years. These animals can have a long, long, long time. But, because of that, there's an incredible bond that you have with them. And they are, I would consider them bright. Most all the tortoises that I've ever met have personalities.
Really?
They can learn their name. They've got excellent hearing. They've got great vision. They'll follow you around the yard outside. If I have pet tortoises. If I call their name and they're out under the bush and they hear my name or they hear me calling them, they'll come out from the bush and walk out to me.
Wow.
So they you're not going to sit with them. Well, some people may sit with them on the couch and watch TV, but you know, they're not a cuddly, warm, fuzzy like a rabbit or a dog or a cat, but they love to be petted. A lot of the tortoises love it when you rub their shell. You know, their shell is like, it's keratin, so it's like a fingertip. So, but if you touch your, like right now, look at your hand and touch your the top of your fingernail, you can feel that.
Right.
Even though it's technically dead material, it's just keratin, there is, you can sense through it. And the shell of a tortoise, the bottom is the plastron and the top is the carapace, they have sensation in the shell. So they love to be petted, they love to be scrubbed, they love to be brushed. A lot of them will come out and extend their neck and let you pet underneath their chin. I mean, they're quite comical.
That's so wonderful. So the shell that looks like a rock, because they are, I guess, on some level about camouflage if they were in their natural environment, right? They're meant to look a bit like the boulders, rocks, or stones that are in their environment. It's a living, feeling part of them, which we sort of don't think of. We think of it as kind of the house they carry around, but they are inside and the house is just a dwelling. But they're connected with sensory.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Let me just draw an interesting comparison there. I mean, everybody's familiar with hermit crabs that walk around in a shell.
Yes.
Okay. So hermit crabs, as they're growing up, that shell is a shell that they stole from somewhere else or found. It's a shell that belonged to a former snail. And as hermit crabs, also very long-lived animals, as they grow throughout life, when they shed, they actually have to leave their shell. They shed their exoskeleton, and then they have to find a new shell, a bigger shell. Tortoises and turtles, on the other hand, like you said, it's the house that they carry around for life. So unlike in hermit crabs where the shell doesn't grow, in a tortoise and in a turtle, their shell grows with them. So the actual shell itself is made out of bone. And then the covering of the bone is this keratin, and that's the part that you see that imparts the color. It could be green, could be black, could be yellow, could be patterned. But that keratin is just like a fingernail. And so as the tortoise grows, the bone underneath the shell grows with it. The keratin will stretch, and then there gets to a point where the keratin can't keep up with the growth of the bone, so the keratin sloughs off. They call it shedding. And when a tortoise sheds, it sheds, you know, if you look at a tortoise, it looks like they have a bunch of little shields pasted all over their back. And each one of those shields is called a scute, and they'll shed separately at different times. They don't shed all at once like a snake. And that's where the old wives' tale comes, where if you want to know how old a tortoise is, you just count the rings on the shell. Because every time they shed and they grow a new scute, it leaves a ring. So there is some truth to that, because every time they shed, they grow a new scute and it leaves a ring. But the thing is, they don't shed once a year. So the bone grows, the scute, which is the colored part, doesn't grow. That sloughs off, and then they grow a new one. But yeah, that shell grows with them and stays with them their entire life.
That's very cool. Now we get to the sad part that isn't really the point of the show, the people that want to kill exotic pets for their meat or their toenails or their shells or their bones or all the absurd reasons that cultures around the world have decided to, I don't know, massacre animals that are defenseless. We used to all, back in the days before we were kind of woke to caring for the planet, wear tortoiseshell glasses, right? I mean, tortoiseshell was really made of the shells of tortoise. You don't really say tortoise, do you?
No.
I thought that would be fun to try that out. When those animals were killed, back when tortoiseshell was literally tortoiseshell and broke quite easily. People had tortoiseshell jewelry as well, and it was kind of breakable, if I recall. What did they do with the tortoise meat? Was that something that was eaten, and is it still eaten somewhere?
Okay, yes, and no, no, and no. several different questions there. A lot of the jewelry and a lot of the accoutrements that people would wear, like glasses and things like that, those were made out of hawksbill shells.
Oh.
And hawksbill is a sea turtle, so that's different than a tortoise. A tortoise is an animal that lives on land, and a sea turtle only lives in the ocean. And so the sea turtles, especially the hawksbill turtles, they were hunted and poached almost to extinction, because they're the ones that have the absolutely incredibly beautiful, beautiful shells. And what people were doing is they would catch these animals in the ocean, they would harvest the shells, they would cut away the shell part of it, the keratin, They would make ashtrays. They would make jewelry. They would make brooches. They would make eyeglasses, combs. I'm sure you've seen. Remember
right.
those back
sure.
in the day? And then they would go ahead and eat the meat. So they wouldn't waste any part of it. But to me, that's no excuse. The thing is, those animals now, it's a highly, highly endangered species. Now, there are a lot of tortoises that are also used for jewelry. But most oftentimes with the tortoises and the turtles, they'll use the entire shell like as a cup or a bowl or something along those lines.
And is that in a kind of, I'm going to make this up, a tropical setting where they would use the bowl for their meals? It actually had a function. I mean, I know it doesn't entirely forgive it,
yeah.
but not just
yeah.
for
no,
adornment on Fifth Avenue to have a really cool pair of glasses.
Yes, they can certainly use them for bowls, and they did have a function, but sadly they were also sold in the trade as ashtrays, which, I'm sorry, there's no excuse for that.
That somehow is a double whammy.
Yep.
Let's go back to the joys of owning a tortoise.
Yeah, the happy stuff.
What is the downside? What do they need that is hard to provide, whether it's in the environment or their food?
Well, I think that's a really, really good question. And, you know, there are thousands of species of tortoises, literally. And one of the things that people have to be aware of is how big that tortoise is going to get when they buy it. Right now, the most popular pet tortoise is called the African spurred tortoise. And they got their start around, it was Easter, probably about 30, 35 years ago, Cadbury Egg. You may remember this. They used to have Easter commercials with a rabbit and a large tortoise. And the rabbit was sitting there, and then the tortoise had fake bunny ears on. And then they had some Cadbury eggs, and that was their TV commercial. And when that first came out, of course, everybody that saw the commercial ran out, started buying these tortoises. The thing is, when you buy them, they're about the size of maybe a silver dollar or maybe a little bit bigger than that. But they're the fourth largest tortoise in the world, and they're also the fastest growing tortoise. So that little silver dollar tortoise in 10 years is going to weigh 40, 50, 60 pounds. And when it's full grown, it's going to weigh 250 pounds.
What?
Most people have no idea. And so they end up buying these tortoises. They grow. They eat them out of house and home. They destroy the gardens. You know, they poop like elephants. And then they go, what am I going to do with it? Oh, I'll give it to the zoo. Well, the zoos don't want it because all the zoos have tons of these things. And so sadly, like I work with local animal control, it's not uncommon to find these tortoises just wandering loose, which you should never, ever, ever let a pet animal back in the wild.
Now, is one of the reasons that it will mess up the native species of tortoises?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they potentially could bring in diseases that the native
right.
tortoises don't have. But, and then they also, they compete with food that the native tortoises don't, you know, that native tortoises need to have. But you just don't want to be releasing captive animals out into the wild. But getting back to your point, so when you buy these tortoises, it's real important that people understand how big they get. There are some tortoises, like I have one pet tortoise. Well, first off, reptiles grow throughout life. They never stop growing from the day they're born to the day they die. They just grow slower as they get
wow.
older. So I have one pet tortoise that she's an adult. She's probably 30 pounds maybe. She might get to be 35 full grown. You know, there are other tortoises that may be a couple pounds full grown. And those are great tortoises to have because you don't need a lot of space. But getting back to these sulcatas that we talked about, these African spurred tortoises, they have incredible personalities. I mean, they make great pets. The thing is, they just get huge and they take a lot of space. And so when you talk about what do we need to supply to these animals, you need to be prepared. If you're going to get this animal, where are you going to put it? If you live in Michigan, not a good idea to have a pet tortoise because they, you know, they're ectotherms. They, you know, the old term is cold-blooded. That's not a correct term, but they need to be warmed up. So if you've got a tortoise that weighs 100 pounds and you live in Michigan, you better put them in the basement with a bunch of heat lamps and some sand and dirt and some brush. And, you know, you have to be able to provide a hot, proper home for them. Otherwise, that's not fair to the animal.
And it sounds like you might have to move the pool table also out of the basement, or the ping pong table. I mean, 250 pounds is gigantic. And then you said the poops are gigantic also. Are they herbivores? So they eat?
Yeah.
What do you have to give them? Like whole heads of romaine lettuce? Or
whole heads of romaine lettuce. A lot of leafy greens, different types. So you want to mix it up so it's balanced. Some haze. There's some really good haze you can give them. And then also what's nice nowadays is that for almost every exotic pet that you want, there's a commercial diet available. And so for those of you that don't want to go out and buy fresh lettuce every day, you can actually go out and pick up commercial tortoise chow and feed them that. I think it's great because it's a balanced diet, but I do think they need some variety just for, you know, stimulation. So like my tortoises do get tortoise chow, but they also get fresh chopped vegetables, leaves, flowers, things like that.
Flowers too. I remember when I was at the ZooMed booth at the pet conference, they were giving dried flowers of some kind that they create for that reason and put in a jar to one of the exotics that was there. And I thought, this is amazing that someone has spent the time to figure out what flowers and what greenery and also the balance of minerals and nutrients. I think it's something that people with dogs and cats already understand, that you can't just feed randomly whatever sort of falls off the table to a dog or a cat because it's not balanced. And it must be even more so with a tortoise that's meant to live in a completely different environment and have access to, I don't know, seaweed and palm trees and I don't know all the various things they could get if they were lucky enough to live somewhere safe. So it's a big commitment in terms of space and nutrition. But what about this giving it to the son and the grandson? You obviously can't make, if your grandpa and your grandson's three, you can't be sure he's going to be willing to take it after you give it to your son, who's his father. But that is pretty much essential, isn't it?
Well, I think we need to plan ahead for these. I mean, and this is another discussion we can have down the road. There are a lot of pets, especially in the exotic world, that live for many, many, many years. You know, not so much mammals, but when you start getting away from the standard bell curve and you start getting out into some of the large macaws, you know, some of the fish, certainly a lot of the reptile species. And again, I mentioned before, hermit crabs. I mean, a hermit crab properly cared for can easily live 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Most people don't think, oh, my God, this little crab I bought at the dime store is going to live 25 years.
Yes.
So when we take on a responsibility as a pet steward, we have to be aware that what are we going to do with this when 5 years from now when we're tired of it? So, and that's one of the reasons too. And again, another great topic for down the road, why you don't want to gift somebody a pet unless you have a talk with them first. In other words, you don't want to surprise somebody for their birthday and give them a macaw because they may not want a 2-year-old for 25 or for 75 years.
Right. Making a lot of noise and mess and needing a vet. And that's why you and your confreres, of whom there aren't very many who specialize in exotic pets, are sought after because once people take them in, they get illnesses and they also need preventive care. They should go once a year to a vet who knows about exotics and check the things that we should actually do a show on that. So what do you do in the annual visit of a tortoise versus an African gray parrot? So going back to tortoises, the turtle is not a tortoise, right? It's a completely different creature, if you will. It's not a small tortoise, or in some ways, is it?
That's a really, really, really good question. And when I teach anatomy classes, I always include that in my discussion. And interestingly enough, Tracy, the definition varies on what continent you live on. So if you live on Australia, or you live in Europe, or you live in the United States, they have different definitions. But the American definition, the United States definition, a tortoise is basically a land turtle. Okay, they live on land. A terrapin can either live on the land or in the water. And an example of a terrapin would be like a box turtle. Everybody's seen box turtles.
Right.
And then the true turtle, by true definition, the turtle is the one with flippers that lives in the ocean. So a turtle lives in the ocean, a terrapin lives kind of on land or in the water, and then a tortoise, by definition, lives on land.
Okay, so this is really cool. We need to do another show on the Galapagos tortoises, who I imagine are true turtles. Don't they live in the ocean?
No, Galapagos tortoises are land animals.
Oh, they're just land animals.
They're true tortoises.
Well, anyway, you can't take one of those home, folks. They're very, very careful about the tortoises on the Galapagos. People go halfway around the world to view them.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, you can't take one of those home, but there are enough people in all over the world now that historically years ago got them somehow, and now they're breeding. And you can, Tracy,
no
if you
kidding.
Wanted a pet Galapagos tortoise, You have to get a license for it, but it's not hard. You can go out and buy one.
That is amazing. Okay, that's going to be another show. You guys are just going to have to stay tuned for a few years. There's so many cool things that Dr. Doug knows and that we all need to know. Doug, thank you so much. And to those of you considering tortoises, keep in mind, either you should be 3 years old yourself and plan to live to 100 or fill in the blank. That's the plan. Thanks a lot.
I love it. All right. Take care, Tracy.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets, brought to you by the fine family of animal lovers at ZooMed Laboratories, where they make everything you could need to give your exotic its best possible life. Are you an experienced reptile snake breeder or gecko breeder? Or are you looking to pick up your first pet bearded dragon? ZooMed is sure to have what you need so you can confidently care for your exotics. If you have a question for Dr. Doug to answer on the show, feel free to reach out to me on our contact page at TracyHotchnerPets.com, spelled TracyHotchnerPets.com. Thanks for listening.